This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Time for Tim Hasselbeck to break it down for us.
Tim will be in Kenyon Stadium with Dave O'Brien and Kelsey Riggs on Saturday night for the South's oldest rivalry, Carolina and Virginia. Tim, good morning. How are we?
I'm doing great, guys. Good morning.
Well, this will be a good one, given the chirping going back and forth, right? I mean, there's a lot at stake Saturday night in Chapel Hill.
I do think it's going to be a really good one. Somebody told me the Tar Heels were favored by 9, ooh, which, I got to be honest, really surprised me because, look, North Carolina is good. They have talent. They clearly have, you know, been – not been perfect. And so there are some things that they probably need to get corrected. And then you look at Virginia, and while they haven't played, an opponent like Virginia Tech, you know, like the Tar Heels have, they have been impressive, and they are just unique enough. I mean, you guys know this. Between the quarterback, the other players that they get the football to offensively, and then defensively, they're long, they're experienced in the back end. I think their scheme is confusing to people. And so, look, Bronco Mendenhall and Virginia Cavaliers have beaten North Carolina the two times they faced them under Mack Brown. So I think it's going to be a great football game.
Tim, Mandy Alonzo's quote is getting a lot of play. I mean, not often do you get a college kid coming out and talking about somebody's physicality or inability to be physical, whatever the case may be, and he thinks it's a big reason Virginia's been successful. When you watch these two teams on tape, does it show up for Carolina? I mean, I thought it showed up on opening night at Virginia Tech. But is that a characteristic Carolina's got to be concerned with Saturday night?
Well, I would say this. Virginia's always been physical when I've seen them. So whether it was Bryce Perkins as their quarterback or now Brandon Armstrong, they are a physical team. They want to be tough. I mean, look, their head coach's name is Bronco, guys, right? Like, they're going to be physical, okay? Yeah. And they have been. That's been an identity for them. You know, for North Carolina, I think because they've had speed, you know, they've been explosive. You know, toughness isn't necessarily, like, the first thing that comes to your mind. All that to say, look, when you know, the first year Mac was there and we had them early in the season, he talked about, look, when I came back to coaching, I knew I wanted to have a spread offense, but I wanted to have a spread offense that could run the football. And the backs that they had last year, you could do that. You could be in a spread, and you could be physical because you had backs that would get tough yards, and you could hand it off when it wasn't blocked perfectly, and you saw a physical football team. So I do think there are elements of that. They do want to be that, but, like, if you were to say, okay, what's the identity, you know, that's not, you know, I would not pin that as the identity. That's not saying they're not physical or can't be, but that's not the first thing that comes to my mind. And, you know, I would say that that's probably the case for most people.
Tim, given where North Carolina was in the middle of the summer, preseason hype, top 10, all that great stuff, Sam Howell coming back, you know, Heisman, all this and that, and then they get punked week one, right? It seems like this game, there really is a ton of pressure for North Carolina to hold serve because biggest word in sports, if you're basically a double-digit favorite, you're at home, if you go 0-2 in league play before we even get to October, well, where does that put North Carolina? It seems like they really have to win this game.
I would agree with you based on the preseason expectations. So where does it put them? I mean, it puts them behind the eight ball big time. Look, I think there are a lot of people surprised by what happened in Blacksburg. And if you were surprised by what happened in Blacksburg, then, you know, not being able to hold serve, as you say, at home against a team that, you know, nationally everybody is expecting you to beat, yeah, I think it just completely changes the way that you know. Yeah, it's a really big game. I would expect them to, I would expect them to be in a situation where, you know, they are, feeling the pressure of that. Like, if we're talking about it, I think internally they've got to be feeling it.
Tim, is it as simple for Carolina Saturday night as running the football? Because we've just rolled off all these stats from the last 4 years. Carolina's inability, and I mean, you guys had the game last year. You had the game 2 years ago, ironically. You guys, this third straight year, I think you and Dave have had this game. Is it just as simple as Virginia won't let Carolina run it, and Carolina has to be able to run it Saturday night? Is it that tactical?
See, I don't think it is, because I think that with North Carolina, what they do offensively, is like they're not necessarily just calling a bunch of runs or calling a bunch of passes. Like they, you know, I'm put a percentage on it that's not precise, but like, I mean, over half of North Carolina's plays are RPOs. So, you know, if you're giving them just like, hey, the look that, you know, is helping the quarterback make a decision, I guess, you know, North Carolina could win the football game by running it 10 times if Virginia just gives them the look where they're just spitting the ball out, you know, to downs or, you know, to guys that are good in space. Like, so, you know, I don't think it's that simple. I think the bigger thing is, does North Carolina stay on schedule or do they get off schedule? And so, you know, you get into third and long against Virginia, they can confuse you, and then the quarterback holds the ball, and then you get sacks, and you get bad things happening. To me, that really is probably the bigger story. And then when you flip it over, okay, like quarterback runs and perimeter runs, I think, are the thing that have really, really hurt North Carolina. So defensively. So like, go watch the Virginia Tech game. Braxton Burmeister running and perimeter runs to Blackshear or Turner, you know, that hurt them. And so Virginia's good at that stuff, quarterback runs and perimeter runs. So how do you stop that?
Tim, we had a list that we created this week based on just 2 weeks. I know it's a small sample size, but that's all we can work with. We tried to rank the top five quarterbacks right now in the ACC, and both of us had Brennan Armstrong number one. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, the guy I just mentioned, to be honest with you, what about, you know, Braxton Burmeister? You know, I mean, so I failed you guys. I didn't get back to Josh. Here's my list through five. Braxton Burmeister, Kenny Pickett, Brennan Armstrong, Sam Howell, Sam Hartman. Okay?
Wow.
Like, okay. That's my list, okay? Through, you know, again, judging on what we've seen so far. So, but saying that, like, I mean, like, I put Brennan third, but, like, he could be one. I mean, look how efficient he's been. He's been so efficient, and again, you know, maybe it's because I'm kind of wrapped up in doing the game this week. The uniqueness of what they do is like, wow. Like, how do you prepare for that? Like, right. Here comes Keaton Thompson. All right, quarterback sneak. Oh, no, he's not. He's going in motion. Wait a second. They just threw a touchdown pass from Armstrong to, you know, to who was it on that play? It was Dontavian Wicks. You know, so like, to me, I think that's one of the things that's really helping Brennan play well right now.
Tim, one other thing, too, with Virginia, because I know there's been a lot of conversation already about North Carolina, but if they expect to get back to Charlotte to play for an ACC championship, you must be able to do it on the road. I mean, we know how good Virginia is at home. They've proven that. But Broncos 6-20 on the road. When you look at that schedule, hey, it really starts with Saturday night. Can they continue that trend of beating North Carolina and Chapel Hill? You know, to me, that's kind of the million-dollar question with Virginia moving forward. Yeah, they're unique. Armstrong's playing lights out. They're a dog on the road. But can they take it on the road and win? That's the key.
Pack, you're right about that. We talked to Bronco yesterday, and, I mean, he kind of brought it up himself. You know, it wasn't like we asked him that question directly, and he's like, plain and simple, we need to be better when we go on the road. And like, you know, when I got here, we weren't great on the road, and, you know, I haven't really been able to help get it fixed. So it's something that we do need to fix. You know, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but, he acknowledged the fact that, like, no, we need to be better on the road. And, you know, one thing that's, I think has always struck me in meeting with him and seeing how he's running that program is that he's going to identify a problem, okay? And then he's not just going to assume he knows the reason for it. He's going to try to figure out why that problem exists before he tries to fix it. I don't know if that makes sense, but like,
no, you're right.
So I think that part of it for him is figuring out, okay, well, what is that? Is it how we travel? Is it how we practice that week? I think he's willing to try to uncover everything, and it seems like it's a significant point of interest for him, and that's why. Listen, just like this is a huge game for the Tar Heels, I think it's a really big game for everything you just mentioned in terms of, yeah, I think they've got a good football team. I think it's the best offensive line they've had there since Bronco's been the head coach and got experience there. And so, okay, well, can you win on the road now with that? And we'll see. We'll see if they can get that. I think it's going to be a great game.
Yeah. I want to get 2 minutes on your alma mater here because we saw Phil Jurkovec get hurt last Saturday, first quarter action at UMass, could potentially come back. I attacked this a couple different ways, but tell me about Dennis Grossell and being the backup and his experience level and their ability to continue this upward trend under Jeff Hafley in your mind.
Yeah, so look, this is a huge, huge injury. I mean, Jurkovec, I think, was really the catalyst for them looking different offensively. Like, plain and simple, you just even go back to last year, and Wes, I know you've seen them in person.
Yeah.
He made a lot of plays, like, outside of, you know, what was just called. And so, you know, Grissel does not have that, he just doesn't have that same ability to, you know, physically do some of the things outside of the design of the play that Jurkovec did. So, I don't want to, kind of short sell Jurkovec in terms of what he meant to them, their explosiveness, all of that stuff. Look, the fact that you're turning over to a veteran player who, you know, has started before. I mean, look, he started a game at Clemson, you know, earlier in his career at BC, and then has had the benefit of being in the system, watching Phil play. Look, I think that he can play well. I think, you know, when you get to some of the, you know, the bigger football games and you're asking somebody to play above the X's and O's, I think that's when they're really going to miss him. And that's why it's going to be important for whether it's, you know, Barry, the tight end, or whether it's Flowers at wide receiver, somebody else is going to have to kind of play above the X's and O's for them offensively, in my opinion. Now, I haven't had them in person yet, hoping to have them at some point this season. But that's how I would assess that. And, you know, I think one of the things that you get kind of hired for or hired to do as a head coach is when these things happen, how do you rally your football team? And I think the messaging that Jeff Hafley's had to his football team has been pretty good with it.
All right, I'm going to ask you, since you walk on both wires here, I'm going to ask you the question I asked Tom Luganville yesterday. And I know it's not a fair question, but you guys know this sport as well as anybody we have on the show. Phil Jurkovec has technically played 13 ball games or 12 collegiate football games. He is draft eligible, Tim. What happens in your mind right now?
Listen, I don't know him personally, you know, from the standpoint of, like, what his decision is going to be. Look, and it's early in the process.
Right.
I would think he's got to come back. I would think he's got to come back. I mean, there's just not enough film. And even at the end of last year, and I think he was really banged up at the end of last year. You know, the beginning of last year, he played phenomenal. You know, at the end of last year, as he is fighting through some things, he did not play as well. And so, you know, you're saying 13 starts. Well, you know, how many of them do you want every NFL scout to see and watch? And I just think playing would help. I really do.
Yeah.
And, well, listen, he'll be able to petition and he'll be able to kind of get a sense of where he thinks he may go. And physically, he's going to check a lot of boxes. And so, you know, he should make, you know, a decision based on that, not, you know, my opinion of what I think. But, yeah, I think playing and being ready to go in and play well, or playing well so that you get drafted higher and you're a little bit protected in terms of your security on a team makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, that's well said. That's well said. Appreciate the time. Enjoy Chapel Hill. Should be a heck of an environment Saturday night at Keenan under the lights.
It should. All right, thanks, guys. See ya.
Thanks,
right.
Tim.
Tim Hasselbeck, you'll be with Dave O'Brien and Kelsey Riggs. It's part of our ACC football triple header. right here on ACC Network. Starts Saturday, high noon. Huddle gets you cranked up live from Chapel Hill at 10. Then we're off to the Dome in Central New York. Chris Cotter, Mark Herzlich, Jalen Johnson are there for the Great Danes and the Orange. Dogs and fruit. What could possibly go wrong? 4 o'clock, the Jim Phillips Invitational. Is that where we're going with?
JPI.
21st meeting all time. Tied at 10 is the series between Northwestern and Duke. And then ACC Primetime Football presented by GEICO, the South's oldest rivalry, Virginia and number 21, North Carolina at 7:30. ACC Network, ESPN app for all your live coverage. When we come back, more to go ahead of the Bear at 9:30. Some stats you won't believe. And Packers thoughts as well. When we come back on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Relaxed in the basement.
Yeah, you good?
Yeah, I mean, the knee's acting up a little bit today.
Oh, is that it? Okay, well, I'll take care of the knee.
That's what I'm doing. And Chester's not using the footrest.
No,
and
there it is. There's the lap of luxury.
I'm chill out. I mean, I'm not Gus Malzahn, but I feel like it. How about that?
Yeah, you're right. First of all, let me say I appreciate Tom Luginbill and Tim Hasselbeck answering the question the last 2 days about the process with Phil Jurkovec. And if E.J. Manuel were with us, I would ask him the same question. What do you think Jurkovec's situation is? He has started 12 football games, Pack, at Boston College. He did play briefly at Notre Dame. He is draft eligible, by the way. He's probably done for the remainder of the regular season. At least that's the early word. There's always a chance. Quick healer, come back, play a handful of games. We had this discussion in July when you were down in the dumps a little bit about him potentially being a first-round guy.
I wasn't down in the dumps. I was just very ill.
That's it.
It's a big difference.
Yeah. Well, you had the Delta. We talked about him being a first-round pick, potentially. If he puts up the numbers he puts up last year, he's got a heck of a shot.
But, you know, I think Tim said it best. You know, he'll – whatever happens, we wish him the very best.
Absolutely.
In speedy recovery, because
right.
He's a really – first of all, he's a good dude, and he's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the NFL will kind of tell him, and I think dictate his decision, don't you think? I mean, he'll run through the numbers and all that kind of stuff, and they'll say thumbs up, thumbs down, here's where we think you're going to be. And then he'll make a business decision.
Yeah.
And if he decides to come back, that's great for Boston College and the ACC and for college football. And if he thinks he's ready for the next level, man, go for it. I mean, mm-hmm. It's your world. It's your life. He's got great skill, and he's got a huge potential. So I just hope he gets back ASAP. And then he'll make a right decision here. I think all that will kind of take care of itself.
But we're trying to kind of cover some lines there. We've got two guys, and Tim and Tom, and certainly EJ, who follow the sport and know both sides of the road and how the evaluation process works, not only collegiately but also from the NFL side. So it's important to get their perspective because it's something that's going to come up. I mean, especially given the quarterback pool, it's not what it is at the top, you know, last year. In terms of the NFL, but where it fits, Sam Howell certainly is a guy. Phil Jurkovec would be regarded as a guy, especially from the ACC. So appreciate those guys answering that question, and we'll see where this goes. I agree with both those guys. He probably needs to come back and play another year to put it on tape.
Well, let me ask
you this. Show the depth of the
– Everybody's entitled to an opinion, but what happens if the opinion from the NFL is, hey, guess what? We've seen enough in your tapes, and we think you're a first-round pick. You tell me what he does.
He's going to go.
Exactly right. So, I mean, like I said, I respect –
some guys go and they aren't even guaranteed first
you
round.
You got that right. I respect the opinion of again, Lugs and Tim, because they've been there, done that. They get it. But, you know, if somebody tells you – Not the entourage, but if somebody in the NFL says, hey, guess what? We think you're a first-round pick. You got to go.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that answer is going to be.
And he can get the evaluation. The National Football League does as good a job in communicating that back to the college players, because that's, as you've heard me say this, Rich McKay says, the relationship between the college and the pro game is that consistent.
It's, well, the NFL wants to know what they're getting, so it's in their best interest to be completely upfront with you.
Yep.
I mean, they're going to eventually – if you're a player, they eventually get you. It's just like the NBA, and that's why they – not to switch gears, but, hey, you know, they want the best players. They're going to get the best players, but at what point in time are you ready to get them? So we'll see what happens with Phil. So we wish him the best. He is a good dude, and man, can he play? And that's a big, big loss for BC.
And I gotta be honest, I agree with what Tim said about maybe some of the expansion of the offense, but Dennis Grossell's not some guy just shows up now.
18 games he's played in. He's 30, got experience.
32 of 46, 520 and four touchdowns last year against Virginia.
Now, I get it.
Yeah.
But he's not Phil Dracovic.
Yeah.
If he was, he would have been starting.
That's it. So, anyway, our best to Boston College, certainly to Phil Dracovic.
No doubt.
On that healing process. All right, we've got some stats we told you about. There are a few things here that kind of pop off the page with you. For teams who are finding success, despite maybe some stats that belie that. And there are a few here that kind of grab you. One is probably Pittsburgh at 2-0, averaging less than 4 yards a run, right? 13th in the ACC. They're second in the ACC in points per game. But wait a second. How can you be second in the ACC and so bad running the ball?
Well, when you have a quarterback with 9 of your 10 wide receivers back and a really good tight end and a pretty solid offensive line, you throw it just like they did all day long against Tennessee. That's what you do. I suspect this week, if they can, they'll line up and run the football and may take some of the pressure off Kenny for at least a week before they jump in conference play and so forth. But if you're a Pitt fan, man, you got to love what you see so far. I think there's three teams in the league that if you asked their fan bases 3 weeks ago, hey, what do you think you could be at week two? I think Pitt, Virginia Tech, and Virginia, those fan bases would go, hey, we like where we are right now. Mm-hmm. We're ahead of where we thought we would be.
Speaking of the Hokies, 10th in the ACC in yards allowed per game, 351.5. Third in points allowed. So you can go all you want between the 20s against Virginia Tech, I guess.
Points allowed is a really important gig. I mean, you can run between
the 20s. That's the last time I checked how they measure the game.
I keep telling you, you give me all the stats you want, but man, give me points for and points against. I want to be really good in both those categories. Mm-hmm. All this other time of possession and third down conversions and, you know, the complete passes in sunlight versus night games. I don't care about any of that stuff. That's all gives you something to talk about. It's points for and points against at the end of the day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's go to Miami. 4th in tackles in the ACC for loss.
But
13, despite allowing 241 yards after contact.
That's a problem. That'd
be a tackle for loss. And this would be...
Wes, 241 yards after contact.
Tyreek Stevenson.
You better bring the man with the ball to the ground. And that will not... that number will not work Saturday against Sparty.
No.
You have got to tackle the man with the football.
Not at all, right?
Yep.
So, okay, keep an eye on that. Boston College... We were just talking about the Eagles, right? Getting ready to travel to Temple on Saturday in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field. Most defensive penalties in the ACC with 10. Second in scoring margin, 34.
That first stat is a little problematic. That's, you know, normally you think Jeff Hafley disciplined the whole routine.
Right.
For that number to be that high, especially given the competition, that's a little concerning after just 2 weeks. Just saying.
Yeah.
Who they played to have those numbers be that high? Now, maybe it's nothing more than you got such a big lead and we're playing everybody and kids make mistakes. I mean, there's a lot of ways to read that. Again, our sample size isn't great here, but that is kind of that's an interesting number.
All right, we're going to go back to the top of the card for this last one because it still is this one that you go, huh? It involves the Clemson Tigers, okay? This is the one I want you to keep in mind come Saturday against Georgia Tech. Clemson has 2 sacks, 13th in the ACC, but they're number 1 in points allowed.
Like I said, that PA part is really important, but, you know, keep in mind who they played now.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I mean, that Georgia crowd's pretty solid.
Oh, yeah.
That first week. We know about that.
Yeah.
And South Carolina State isn't. So maybe this kind of the middle-of-the-road answer this week with Georgia Tech coming to town.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
There you go. That's still just kind of crazy looking.
Well, it just looks funny because you think of Clemson's defensive front and linebackers and depth and edge rushers. I mean, they got all those boxes checked, but they only have 2 sacks through
That's
2
it.
Games. That's it.
All right, friends, when we come back from College Game Day and the Bear and Stanford Steve podcast. We're going to welcome Chris Felica to this show, and I'm going to tell you right now where we're going to start. Miami.
Yep.
Felica's alma mater. We're going to get right to the heart of the matter with the Canes when the Bear joins us next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, we're getting ready to bring on the Bear, but the other animal that's taken over the show is Fuller, who is show 462. I've never seen him occupy both of our spots at the same time.
We're going to need
his head is literally underneath my right where my knees are.
Yeah, if you're
are.
Watching the show, you see the floor over behind Packer's left leg is his head.
That's his head. Down
and
here.
If you're looking over here behind my right leg, you can see his backside, his rear end is over here. He's absolutely, we need a camera now on the back.
No, we don't.
What if we're gonna put lights and all this other stuff?
No, we don't need a camera back here. Okay. You really don't want to see that angle.
All right, occasionally we might need to fleck a Fuller cam right here on the floor.
All right, that's not in the budget. Maybe if we renew.
If we renew, yeah, that's funny. All right, let's go. Chris Felica, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, Bear. How are you, my man?
I like the idea of the Fuller cam. That's a I'm pro animal there. It's like when you're laying in bed and you've got to contort your legs like every which way just to make sure your pets are comfortable. That's what you got going on there. I like it.
Yeah, you know what? After Dabo Swinney broke the vase wide open.
Oh yeah,
at game day with all the air conditioning that no one ever knew about. You know, I don't know if you want that camera back behind you, Bear.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that's exactly
you
a good idea.
About it, yeah.
No, I finally graduated to the point this year where I actually do have one myself.
Oh.
Probably shouldn't, you know, I do.
Everybody gets taken care of on game day, boy.
I finally reached out and see. Okay, it's Charlotte. It's going to be a little warm. You think we could kind of throw one of those and hook it up back there? And they're like, hey, we can do that. And yeah, I got one that's kind of blowing back there in the RH to kind of cool it down some.
It must be nice in contract negotiations to demand. Keep that in mind, my man. I appreciate that point.
All right.
As anyone who saw the lather of Bear last year when we were in Miami for game day, knows that a cooled off Bear is a good thing.
That's right.
You got it.
Let's jump right to the old alma mater, shall we, friends?
Sure.
Not great against Alabama. Survive the old Mountaineers coming down from Boone. And here comes Sparty, who doesn't look anything like Sparty of the last few years on offense, still signing the same defensive personality. So what are we thinking with the old FPI friends throwing it up there at 66% for the Canes on Saturday?
I think that's a little high. I was surprised to see Miami this big of a favorite in this game. Like, I was not high on Michigan State entering the season at all, but after the first two games, who knows how good Northwestern is? They're probably one of the worst teams in the Big Ten, but they beat them, unlike last year. And to blow out a Youngstown State team, the fact that they've been playing from the lead, they scored a 75-yard touchdown from their first play from scrimmage each of the first two games. Kenneth Walker has been an impact. And maybe you can write it off a little bit last year to the late coaching change and bringing Mel Tucker in late and finally adding some weapons through the portal. So I, as a Miami alum, like, the Alabama games is excusable. No one expected them really to go in there and fully compete and have a chance. But that was alarming last week. They'll tell you they did a good job against Appalachian State's rush defense, but the drops worry me, and we'll see if they can bounce back. As I was talking earlier, like, I think the weather is probably the biggest thing that Miami has going for it. That early kick is supposed to be very hot and humid, and maybe that will help them that they're used to that. But yeah, I was a little surprised that Miami is expected to win this game as easily as those FBI numbers suggested.
Bear, I'm not a gambler, but I did notice the line in the North Carolina-Virginia game, and that seemed like a big number to me when North Carolina favored by almost double digits.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Brendan Armstrong's been the best quarterback in the ACC so far, and it's a game the last couple of years that the underdogs have won outright. Carolina outplayed a little bit better last week against Georgia State, but yeah, this that Virginia offense is a tough offense to prepare for. I know UNC's defense is better than what it's been in previous years, but yeah, I was surprised. I was a little bit disappointed with the Heels in the opener, and I, like I said, they played better last week. But this is a tricky Virginia team that I think after last year, again, a team that didn't have a really successful year last year, but they're back now, and I think Bronco Mendenhall has this team built in his kind of persona, and yeah, that seems like again a number where it seemed a little bit higher than I would have expected it to be.
All right, let's go to Morgantown. Virginia Tech, West Virginia renew the series. No James Mitchell for the Hokies, out for the rest of the year. Braxton Burmeister's look good. Hokies on defensive look good. And yet West Virginia is playing at home. It's a great environment. It's a game we need in college football. What are you thinking?
It is. And I wonder if that opening game was more UNC kind of big stage season opening, like it kind of imploded on the big scene with that raucous crowd in Blacksburg, because look, Virginia Tech didn't have 300 yards in the game. I mean, Carolina made a couple of really crucial turnovers in the game. So like, I think it might be more than that. Now you have the ranked team going on the road and they're an underdog in the game. And that's usually where Vegas kind of has their way with, I think people kind of get attracted to the ranked underdog on the road. And more often than not, the unranked favorites at home do win. I like West Virginia. I'm a fan of Lenny Brown. I think he's a really good back. Their defense has played better than I would have thought after losing a key starter at every level of that defense from last year. They're at home. Dagey has played well after some late season struggles a year ago. They very easily could have beaten Maryland in College Park to start the year. You mentioned the injury for the Hokies there. I think West Virginia wins this game, and but you're right. Good to see these two schools so close in proximity playing. I immediately flash back to that great 99 game with that crucial conversion, that unbelievable run by Michael Vick and their run to the Sugar Bowl.
No doubt. By the way, what do you make of Florida State, and what do you think we will see when they go to Winston-Salem Saturday?
I was surprised that you mentioned the Virginia North Carolina point spread before. In looking at those things, I've noticed this number has like come down throughout the week, which really surprises me. I don't know why anybody would want to back Florida State right now. Look, I think we all got excited because of that game on Sunday night, the great comeback by Florida State. Everybody wants to see Mackenzie Milton do well. Jack Cohen played great. But what if that was just kind of two average to mediocre type teams? And off of that loss last week, blowing the double-digit lead and a terrible – I don't know if Greg Williams was calling that pass defense on the final play of that game or not. But look, Mackenzie Milton's averaging 4.8 yards per attempt. Jordan Travis has thrown 22 passes, and three of them have been intercepted. Like, the best quarterback on the field is Sam Hartman. The Wake running game is good. Dave Clawson is a guy who gets the most out of his talent, and I think their talent level is a little bit underrated. They're no more like, it's not like, oh, they're cute Wake Forest, just overachieving about. Like, they have players on that team, and I think they continue Florida State struggles and push the Noles to 0-3 this week.
Did you hear Bear go, they're no longer cute Wake Forest? Now that we got to get printed on a shirt.
Well, you got to understand, Bear, Wake is the Swiss. Wake, you know, nobody hates Wake. Everybody's happy when they win. They go about their business. They're the Swiss. I mean, that's the deal. And Clawson's done a great job there. Great job in Winston-Salem.
He has, but that's a good analogy. But I think like people like still assume like, oh, they don't have any players. Oh, good. They'll go 7-5 and be happy. But I think their talent level's above that. And here's one for you, too. If you go back since 2018, I believe it is, Florida State has played 14 road games. They're 2-12 in those games. And the two teams that they beat were a Bobby Petrino coach team and a Steve Adazio coach team. So I don't know. They have not played well on the road lately. I think that's going to continue.
All right. Speaking of Sam Hartman, you did respond to your ACC top five, and you got Sam Hartman in it.
I do. Why shouldn't he be? I think if you're being honest with yourself, I mean, I think everybody probably has to have Armstrong number one. Like, I'd be shocked if he wasn't everybody's one. I think Pickett's played well to start the year. Mm-hmm. And Hartman is a guy who's been around, and I like what he brings to the offense. 4 and 5, I think you could make a case for a few guys there. But the fact that Burmeister had such a big part making key plays when he needed to, when that upset went over UNC. And then 5, I was like, shoot, who actually has played okay? And really hasn't hurt his team. I know Leary had a pick in each game, but I still think his overall performance has been good. It would seem crazy that after week two, you wouldn't have Sam Howell, you wouldn't have De'Ara King, you wouldn't have DJ Uiagalelei, you wouldn't have Malik Cunningham. But I think if you're being honest with yourself, you probably shouldn't have any of those guys in your top five after 2 weeks.
You know, that's where I was going to go with you with that list, because there was three guys on there that you thought, oh, those are no-brainers. Mm-hmm. But I also think it tells you about the quality depth of quarterback play in this league, Bear. And while the conference has certainly struggled winning games that do change the narrative, from a quarterback perspective, and again, Djurkovic wasn't even on that list either. I know he's out probably for the rest of the year, and we know what a talent he is. The league really does have a terrific collection of quarterbacks.
No, it doesn't. And I think you do have some younger guys in there as well, like the kid at Duke. They've got an opportunity, I think, this week to beat Northwestern as well. So I think they could be okay there. But you're right. And I think it's good when you get things like this happen. Like it's not the status quo. It's the guys at the top who just go out and clearly are the best. When you get these surprises especially on a national level, like I don't think people nationally would expect to see a list like that. So I think that does bring some good attention to the league and the depth of that position, especially when they haven't necessarily performed and up to the expectations that I'm sure the league would like on the national stage in these games and the results. So they have an opportunity though this week. If Miami were to get right against Michigan State, if maybe Duke pulled an upset, that would be good for the league.
All right, I want to do a complete about face here. It has nothing to do with the ACC. College Game Day is going up to Happy Valley at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any doubt in your mind, with all your travels on Game Day, that the best on-campus creamery belongs to Penn State?
No, zero doubt. It is. It's great stuff, and I'm quite sure the bus will be loaded up with a bunch of post-game trade. Actually, I don't even know if the bus. We're not even going to have to wait until post-show Saturday. I'm sure Friday will be the flavors and just it's good stuff, and unfortunately I'll probably have much too much of it during the course. I will say this: you want to go to another Big Ten school? That Mickey's Dairy Bar in Wisconsin, well, in Madison, right across the street. That's probably number two.
That is such a go-to, isn't it? I mean, that is, and it's old school. You can crawl to the stadium.
Breakfast. Yep.
Oh, the breakfast is a killer. But the ice cream at Penn State, you don't need no stinking air conditioning, man. You just go get a couple. You go get a couple gallons and sit on that all day. You'll be good to go, my man. You don't need
brain freeze.
Oh, brain so good, so good.
Just out of curiosity, sounds like Wake Florida State might be on the Bears' big board this Saturday.
Yeah, there's a good chance of that.
I knew it. We got a lot of intel. We got a lot of intel on Wake and Florida State for it not to make the big board.
I like that.
If you give us full credit, you give Packer full credit, you can use the Swiss. You can use the Swiss.
Oh, yeah. If you want to go with the Swiss, you can. We've been calling them that for 15 years. You can go there. They'll know where it came from.
All right. I'll give full attribution. Absolutely.
That works.
I support my teammates. I spread the wealth.
That would be our first appearance on game day. And if Bear does give us attribution.
And by the way, since you're in a giving mood, just dry ice some of that to ice cream from Penn State.
Yeah, don't feel bad to ship that on.
See what happens. I'll try and work that out. I'll get our production coordinators on that. Get that address.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Send it out.
I trust your selections too. I know there'll be good flavors. You're not.
I think we'll be all right. No, not at all.
Love it. Hey Bear, be well. Thanks as always. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys. Great talking to you. Have a great weekend.
You bet. You too. Chris Felica. Game day is at Penn State, by the way.
Right.
For the Auburn and Penn State.
Yeah. Penn State, by the way, the only school in the country. Here's a bar bet for you. It's got nothing to do with the ACC, but we got folks listening
They're in the Alliance.
They are. Yeah, but they're kind of like a brethren, right?
They're in the Alliance.
Uh, Penn State's the only school in the country that has appeared on College Game Day in each of the last 5 years. There's a bar bet for you.
There you go. How about that?
Yep. Me to you. Impress your buddies.
Things you learn watching Packer and Durham.
That's your Alliance trivia for the day.
There you go. All right. When we come back, final segment, what to watch for tonight, and there's plenty. Plus, you know, we got the men's schedule show tonight.
Hey, do we have the coveted invite with pom-poms after what happened on volleyball last night?
I don't know that.
Just asking.
All right.
Oh, I was just asking.
Oh, boy.
Got the pom-poms out. Coveted invite.
Sit tight. We'll let you know what to watch for next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. That'll be dog walking music for 10:05.
Right.
Right here.
You're headed out the door.
Just about. Mm-hmm. You know how that works.
I do.
All right. Good guest today. Always fun. D'Angelo Hall talking trash, right, with D'Angelo Hall. Tim Hasselbeck doing his thing. He'll be in Chapel Hill this weekend. And, of course, you just heard Bear. He's heading to Penn State Auburn for College Game Day with references of Swiss. And who knows? Maybe get some ice cream out of the deal. We'll find out.
David Cutcliffe birthday.
That's it. Happy birthday. We've been a lot of birthdays this week. Deshaun Watson on Tuesday. Dan Marino yesterday. Cut today. So good for him. Awesome. Yeah.
So thanks to Chris Felica, Tim Hasselbeck, D'Angelo Hall today. Good stuff with those guys. We'll get you ready with a big Football Friday show tomorrow. Right here on the program.
Now, are you going to be here or are you moving? You're taking your game somewhere else?
I'm going to Duke.
So you'll be live from Wall Suite Outdoor?
That's it. Blue Devil Tower tomorrow.
Oh,
Blue Devil Tower.
You might run into Mike Krzyzewski. Talk to him about
No, not that tower.
Oh, you mean not the K Tower.
Press Box Tower.
Oh, that tower. The smaller one.
I'll let you and Coach K.
Will you need a code
I'll let you and Coach K handle that.
Huh?
You guys have that fun relationship. I'll let you handle that.
I do have a good relationship with K. I'm going to miss him. I am going to miss him.
Yeah. Oh, I am too. I like John Shire. I think he'll do a good job, just like Hubert Davis. But it's not Roy, and it's not Coach K, and time moves on in basketball.
Now we'll have the basketball scheduled tonight, 7
p.m.
That's right,
7 o'clock. You know, when are we going to get some of these? And by the way, with a legend like Mike Krzyzewski's final turn here, some of those dates are going to be pretty interesting.
No doubt. No question. It's going to be it'll be, again, hoops can wait. Again, it's only week 3 college football.
That's it.
We got business to attend to before we worry about hardwood and stuff. But the ladies' schedule unveiled last night, men's schedule tonight.
Yeah.
Right here on the ACC Network.
So
7 Bills.
Yep. And Kelly and Coach McGraw and Kelsey did a great job last night. Looking forward to Dallin Cuff and Luke Hancock and their analysis tonight of what you'll get in the schedule as well. Let's go to the volleyball from last night here on ACC. We saw Louisville beat Kentucky.
Defending champs.
In volleyball last night.
Coveted invite.
3-2 the final. The Ville is 9-0.
Coveted invite with the unbiased call, but deep down in her heart, knew. It's all about the cards last night.
Look at the crowd last night.
And they're into it. Now, listen, Kentucky won the national championship last year. Good for them. Anytime. There's certain rivalries in college sports. It doesn't matter the sport.
Yep.
People are into it. And there is no doubt in the Commonwealth, anytime Louisville and Kentucky get together, people will be interested. So, no surprise. But two teams are really, really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
So, congratulations to the cards on the win last night. And we told you, Louisville 9-0. Ready for what to watch for?
Let's do it.
All right. Brought to you by Carvana. And we will get that in just a second. As tonight, we've got women's soccer. We've got all these other things. The schedule show as well. Coming up for you at 7 o'clock here on ACC Network. So.
By the way, just switch gears real quick. Oh, by the way, excuse me.
It's time for What to Watch For, presented by Carvana. Here's the volleyball. Miami at UCF, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock? Like in minutes?
Hey, I got stuff to do.
Georgia Tech, Arkansas this afternoon. Georgia and NC State's on the app tonight, ACCNX. Miami at Florida Atlantic. And Pitt, Clemson, women's soccer, follows the schedule release tonight at 7 p.m.
You got it.
So there you have it. That's what to watch for here on ACC Network.
Is there a men's basketball game that you're looking forward to in terms of where it will fall in the schedule? Is there one that you, when that gets released tonight here on the network, you sit there and go, oh, I can't wait for fill in the blank?
I am actually very curious to see, and this is not a specific game, I'm actually curious to see tonight who teams play before January. You know how the ACC, since they've gone to 20 games, they have the two games typically that are played before the new year, right? I'm interested to see, because those games have tended, like we had Louisville and Miami a couple of years ago when the network debuted. We had Carolina with
Virginia, Syracuse.
Cole Anthony. Yeah, Carolina played Syracuse, right? Start of the
Virginia,
year. Virginia, Syracuse.
We were there.
Yeah.
We were in Syracuse.
We had Carolina play Notre
Dame.
They
allowed us to leave.
Yeah, we had Carolina, Notre Dame. All those type games, the ones before January are ones I'm interested to see who they match up. Because I think that's a – like, here's Georgia Tech with Michael DeVoe back and Jordan Usher and some of these guys that won the tournament. Do we know what to expect? Remember how we joked around, you got to wait till September 1 to get the rosters? Well, we're past September 1. We've got rosters. But how do you start in your league? I mean,
I want to see who travels to Florida State. You know why? Because the Noles got that winning streak.
Oh, yeah.
And you wonder who can finally snap the hex down there in Tallahassee in the ACC, if anyone can do it. Don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah. So it's definitely an interesting type situation. So we'll see tonight. 7 o'clock is the schedule release. Happy birthday, David Cutcliffe. Blue Devils at home looking for a win against Pat Fitzgerald and the Wildcats.
And you're headed there. Wildest way to outdoor.
Yeah. That sounds out like that. So, anyway, thanks to Josh Macri, Drew Brooks, Jen Milkovich. You were fabulous.
Great to have Jen.
We look forward to having you back at some point soon to direct this program. We will see you with a big Football Friday show tomorrow's edition of Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.